Yeah, praise the Lord. I know it's a bit nerve-wracking, isn't it, when you're up there, but when you're doing it for Jesus,
yeah,
that's what matters. And that's it. Fantastic, girl. That was the first time they've done, really done something on their own, isn't it? So we just thank God for that. Hallelujah. Yeah, first time we've heard Claudia play, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great. Wonderful, Jesus. It's good to be together in the house of the Lord. Today I just want to talk to us and just say I have a few questions today. And one of them is, starts off with this: how much faith do we have? How much faith do we have? I suppose the first question is, do you have faith? Do you have faith? Every one of us has some form of faith. Because every one of you came in this room today and sat on a chair and never looked at it and said, I wonder if it will hold my weight. Did you? You just simply came and you just sat down and it's like, okay. You would have had a shock. Yeah, it has happened actually. You see, I mean, these wooden chairs are probably great, you know. I mean, you could sit an elephant on these things and it would be okay. But you know, some of these sort of newer type chairs, these plastic steel things, you know, sometimes the welding gives way a little bit, and then suddenly the next thing you know, you sit on it and you feel yourself disappearing, sinking down. You know, I think, whoa, didn't expect that. But every one of us, we walk into a room at night time and we flip the switch, and we have faith that that light is going to come on, don't we? We are shocked when it doesn't come on. Yeah? Well, why? Because we had faith that when we flicked that switch, the lights would come on. So every one of us has some kind of faith. We have a natural faith. Things around us. When you go to your car, you put the key in the ignition and you turn it and you expect it to start, don't you? You're shocked if it doesn't start. Yeah? I know. But it happens. But our faith, we're always looking and believing for the positive. Irrespective of what the world says and what the news people tell us, it could, it might, there's a disaster possibly going to happen, and you know, Brexit is going to cause such pain and agony. Let me tell you this, God is in control. We sang that song, I Know Who Holds the Future. He's got tomorrow already in his hands. He's already planned my tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? So why should I worry about tomorrow when he's already got it planned? Because I know for a fact that my Father is a loving Father.
Amen.
And he said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you.
Amen.
So I know that as long as I keep my hands in the hand of God, and as long as I follow him, then I know my future is secure. It may have some bumps in the road, but that's just part of developing me as an individual. Building character, building strength in each and every one of us. So we have this natural faith. But at the same time, God gives to us a supernatural faith. It goes beyond flicking a switch on a light and pushing the button to start your car. It goes beyond all of that. This supernatural faith, it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says this, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace, and that's not my wife, by the way. It's by grace, his grace, that you are saved. Through faith. Through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It's not your faith. It's his faith. And suddenly his faith comes into our lives. And it's a gift of God. It's not by yourself, but it is a gift from God. And many of us here today know this experience. That suddenly when we were struggling with things, when things looked bad. And Jesus turns up on the scene. And suddenly we realize He's the answer. What's the question? He's the answer. What's the question? He's my answer. So whatever question I've got, He's my answer. Amen? I'm excited about that because I know I can trust God. I've been walking this way for 50 years. And He's never let me down. He's never failed once. Oh, I have. I've failed, I've made my mistakes. But God has never failed me once. It's great to see Sandra Dunn here. She went out to be a missionary in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it wasn't Taiwan first of all, was it? Singapore and then, that's right, I thought it was Singapore and then Taiwan she went on to. And she was part of the church that we, Grace and I, were in many years ago. Seems like that, doesn't it? You know? We didn't have this sort of hair colour view at that time, you know, it was, Sandra was fair, I was dark. And, you know, God is still good. But, you know, we've seen God keep us. Yes, we have our trials. Yes, we have our difficulties. Yes, we can have a problem. But Jesus is the answer. And it's faith in Christ Jesus. It's having that faith in Him. How do we get that? Romans tells us, Romans chapter 10. I just want to encourage you today to really begin to trust God to even more than you do now. Because I believe that God wants to take you and I to another level of faith. You might say, well, I thought there was only one level in faith. No, no, no. Faith grows. Faith increases. Romans chapter 10. And verse 17 says this. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. By hearing what? Doubt? Fears? Unbelief? No. By hearing the word of God. A lot of you young people, you've not long given your life to Jesus and you are treasures. You know that. You're special. Yeah, you might chuckle and giggle, but you are. You're special to God. Right? He loves you. Don't He? You sure about that? Yeah, okay. That's a better nod. Yeah. And He loves you. Because you're special. But He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in faith. How do we do that? The first thing we do is look at the Word of God. And we read the Word of God. And I will always encourage you, read the Word of God out aloud. Because you're hearing it. And it will build faith in your life. God has got things for you to do that you do not yet know anything about. And it's a great future. It will be an exciting future. God has a purpose for your life. You're not here by accident. You're here by a divine plan. Every one of us is here by a divine plan of God. God had a divine plan for Grace and I 22 years ago. He told us about it. He even gave us a picture, a word picture, and told us about two buildings. But one thing He left out, He didn't tell us where the building was. Always just keeps a little back, you know. Because then we live by faith. We start believing God by faith. We start trusting Him. And then 2 years ago, we found out about this building. Empty. And God said, this is the place. Since we've been here, God has begun to move powerfully. Great to see young lives. You know, the biggest miracle, the greatest miracle that anyone will ever see is somebody giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. I love to see healings. I rejoice at that. I get excited about that. I came to Christ and I saw people being healed. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And I said, Lord, I want to live my life as a promise to you with signs, wonders and miracles and give you all the glory. And it's great to see people healed. And he, you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the healer. He's not changed. Some people, some Christians will tell you, oh, healing's not for today. Humbug. It is for today. I have seen people healed. I've seen the dead raised. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. So I know God has got great things for each and every one of you. And you just simply get all the God. And you take a grasp, a firm grasp, and say, I'm not going to let go. You can get knocked down, but while you still hold a God, he'll pull you back up. You okay?
Yeah.
He's not going to let you stumble and crash. He's there for you. Daniel. God changed his life from drugs to Jesus. From destruction to eternal life. From damnation into the presence of the King of Kings. To have a life with a purpose. There are so many pressures today on young people's lives. I wasn't under those same sort of pressures. But today there is so many pressures on people's lives. And yet the world has no real answers. It wants you to come up with the answers. But we have no real answers, save one. And that's Jesus Christ. What's your question? The answer is Jesus. So many people want help these days. But you know, unless you put your hand in the hand of the Master, unless you put your hand in the hands of Jesus, you'll never, ever succeed. You will always fail. People are looking for life. They're looking to money, they're looking to things, they're looking to toys. The next iPhone, the next Samsung, whatever, firebomb that they can supply. What is it? The S7, wait while the S8 comes out, you know, that'll have a bigger explosion, you know. Still not big enough. You remember technology just a few years ago was going to, that you were going to have your telephone and everything you needed on your wrist in the size of a watch. Well, I'll tell you what, okay, now I've got problems, okay? I need glasses to see. So you start putting things even smaller. I'm going to need a magnifying glass, you know, and then I'm going to start looking for where the buttons are. And then suddenly we've created bigger phones. Haven't we? We've gone the opposite way. Man does not know what he wants. God does. God knows that man needs a Savior. Man needs Jesus. Hallelujah. And we need to have faith in Jesus Christ. So faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Verse 8 says, the Word is near you, and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. And that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm saved. Are you? I'm saved because I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I often say that just confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior is not enough. It's easy to say it, but it's a bigger challenge to live it, to be it. And as you know, I said to you in the past, I don't use the term Christian anymore. I'm a disciple. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. He didn't say go out and make Christians. He said the heathen in Antioch first called the disciples Christians. Jesus said, go and make a disciple. Be a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does take some discipline. Take some backbone. But when we have the Word of God in our lives, He gives us that ability and gives us that strength. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. When you begin to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, salvation comes. And that's great. And that's when our faith begins to be born. Our supernatural faith is born within us. And the process begins of that growth and that development of you as that new creation that God intended you to be right at the very beginning of time. When God first created Adam and Eve, Jesus came, and He came for one main reason, and that was to restore all of creation back to Himself. The devil stole it and tainted it. Jesus came as the second Adam to take it back and to purify it so that it could stand before the very presence of God. We're being purified to stand in the very presence of God. We're being made righteous to stand in the very presence of God. And I know sometimes we make mistakes and we feel unrighteous, we feel unworthy. Did you know something? I've realized over the years, God still loves me. He still loves me when I make mistakes. He's still looking for me like the prodigal son's father. He's still looking, saying, where are you? Come on, come back to me. He's still looking for us. And that's so wonderful. And so our faith has to grow and grow and grow. I believe. I have another question for you. Do we have equal amounts of faith? What do you think? Do you think that deer got the same amount of faith as you? So did she get more than you? Did you get the same amount of faith? Oh, geez, I'm glad you were. You know some stuff, you don't you? Hey? Yeah. Every one of us got the same amount of faith. Ain't that great? We're all starting from the same place. All starting from the same level. Same position in God. Same love of God. Same desire and passion that God has for you. He has for Dear. He has for Daniel. For Grace. For me. For everybody. We have that same amount of faith. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that faith? What am I going to do with my faith? Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, for For through the grace given to me, I say to every man amongst you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of the measure of faith.
Amen.
God has given to you the measure of faith.
Yeah.
Reminds me really a little bit like the story of the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
God gives to you. What are you going to do with it? You're going to go and bury it and just hide it away and say, well, you know, I've taken Jesus into my life and that's it, I'm okay, I'll just go and hide away and everything will be okay. Are you going to be like the others that took that measure and began to cause it to increase? You see, our faith has to grow. Our faith and trust in God has to grow. See, when Sandra first came to Bentley, I think she went to Bible college after that, if I remember rightly. I don't know even then if she knew that she was going on the mission field or not. She did. But her faith had to grow for that. She just weren't going to launch straight into it and say, here I am, you know, I've arrived, here you go, you know, this is going to happen. Faith has to grow because the challenge has come. When you first start praying for somebody, for the sick, faith begins to grow. When you see somebody healed, your faith grows and you get excited. I remember times when, as a fellowship, we've prayed for people and we've seen people miraculously healed. And I've gone home walking about this high off the ground, you know, about a foot off the ground. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. I did not need taking home. I was just floating home. Yeah, I was praising God. I was so excited that my Jesus, the Jesus that I worship, the Jesus who is the Lord of all things, turned up and ministered healing from the very throne room of God and allowed me to be involved. He allowed me to lay hands on somebody and pray for them, and through that God moved mightily. And your faith rises and says, okay, you know, suddenly your jacket don't fit anymore. You think, bring on the next one. Yeah, glory to God. We're believing God for greater things. The gift to this building, basically. Wow. God is so good. But our faith has to begin to grow. We have to exercise our faith and begin to see God moving in power in our lives. You know, Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. You see, we start thinking, oh, God's going to do it this way. When we were looking for a building, we went all around Doncaster. We even put bids in for places because we thought that this was how God was going to work. It didn't happen. God said, I'm going to give it to you. We forgot that bit. We went looking, and God said, I'm going to give it to you. The trouble is, you know, we sort of say, how long do I have to wait, Lord? You know, come on. I mean, you know, have you seen the colour of this? You know? Then again, it's like, have you seen the youth in here?
Yeah.
And that's the difference, you know. It's like, hey, you know, this might have a strange colour, but in here, it's not the same colour. You know what I mean? I'm excited. I'm passionate. I want to see God. I'm ready for it. I'm still a teenager. I can still dance and rejoice and praise God. And you know, I was out on the motorbike yesterday. Just been crazy. God is exciting. God is not a joy killer. He's a joy giver. Daniel looked for it in drugs. It nearly killed him. We have Stephen. He's at Bible college. Same thing. Martin, same thing. God has set them free. The answer is to satisfaction is not in the world. Yeah, we had a young man who was just written to us and grew up in the church, went to university, and then got sucked into the system. And every photograph on Facebook that I saw of him was a bottle, but it wasn't water, it was alcohol. I thought, where's he gone? What has happened to what we've sown into his life? From a small boy, at one time, he, wherever I went, he was there. He was my shadow. He got nicknamed my shadow. Wherever I walked, he was there. I would turn around and be falling over him. He followed me everywhere. And it makes you weep when you see young men and young women who suddenly lose that love for Jesus and start looking at the world, which has no answers. There's one thing you know about this world, that when you're born, you will die in this world. But there's one thing that I do know, is when you ask Jesus into your life, you have eternal life. And this framework may disappear, but I shall live forever in Christ Jesus. I shall live forever in a new body. God has called us for a purpose and a plan. The world does not know what to offer you. This young man got into all sorts of things. He wrote his letter just recently, in the last few days, saying that he'd suddenly come to his senses. And we thought, praise God. He realized that there was nothing that could satisfy him in the world. He'd been searching and searching at the world, and because people have said, oh, you want to try this, you want to do this, it's great. It is for a moment, while the moment lasts. Jesus is eternal. And he's just rediscovered that. And now all he wants is Jesus, and he only wants to work for Jesus. You know, he wants to work for the kingdom of God. God still got hold of him, even when he had a bottle in his hand. God had a hold of Daniel when he had drugs in his hand. God brought him across our pathway. And do you know what we told him? What we tell you? Jesus loves you. We didn't look and see, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. We said, Jesus loves you. Didn't we? Told you, Jesus loves you. And you can't win the love of God. It's free, given by him. It's unconditional. But our faith, when we receive that love of God and we receive our relationship with God, we need then to begin to grow. Our faith needs to grow so that we don't have that same measure of faith, because the challenges that will come towards us will get bigger. And your faith will have to grow. I know in the past people have said to me in grace, oh, it's easy for you. You've done it all before. I wish. We've done some of this before. And we've taken a step of faith, and it's like, I'm not sure about that, is it? I don't know if there's anything solid there. Remember the film Indiana Jones with the Temple of Doom? Have you seen that one? No, talking to another generation, you see. I'll have to catch up on some of the newer films and see if there's anything good in them that I can use as illustrations. Well, what happened is that they wanted to get to this thing called the Holy Grail. It's a cup, you see, and they believe it was a cup that Jesus drank from at the Last Supper, and it would give them eternal life. You see, everybody's looking for eternal life. But they want to do it their way. And the only way is Jesus. And so they send these men in through this tunnel, and one suddenly, all of a sudden, a head comes rolling out. Oh, that's interesting. Send another one in and he just screams and he's gone. So we send Indiana Jones in and he has to work his way through this puzzle. And finally he gets to the edge. And all he can see is a great chasm between him and the destination he needs to go. That's a bit like humanity today. There's a great chasm between you and God. But you know, when you begin to read the Word and when you begin to see God moving, suddenly there is a pathway that only you can see, that only God has prepared for you. And Indiana Jones looks and there's no pathway there. And it says you just simply step out in faith. Well, he got a bit of dust and dirt and he threw it, and suddenly it revealed a bridge. And he put his foot down. It's solid. And he began to make his way across. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is that bridge into the eternal presence of God the Father, who loved us and cared for us. You know, that first step of faith seems difficult, but let me tell you this, the next step of faith is even more difficult, and the third step of faith is even bigger than the last one I took. And people say, oh yeah, it's easy for you. Yeah, but you haven't seen how big steps I have to take. See, God is constantly stretching our faith, building our faith, because, you see, through you, God will do great exploits. Right? He's not going to do it on his own. He says, through you, he will do great exploits. See, he wants you to be involved. He wants you to be involved. He wants you to enjoy the excitement of what he does. And it is exciting. I tell you, I would not have missed this journey. Oh yeah, there's been some steep hills to climb. There's been some valley experiences. But he's never left us. And we've never been in want. And he's always there for us. I thought, this is so exciting. I just want to encourage you to keep pressing on. You've got that same faith. Let that faith begin to grow. Romans 10 and verse 8. It says there, we just read it earlier, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. Begin to speak the word of God. There's power in our tongue. There's a verse of scripture which says there's life and death. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Are you going to crucify your flesh by giving into the ways of the world? Are you going to sacrifice your life for the things of the world that only last for a season? You know, people think, oh, I want a fabulous car. Give it a few years, heap of scrap. Followed on yesterday, burning more oil than it were burning petrol. You know, you can follow the car, it was a smoke screen. And that was only an 05. Computers, you know, you got to compute it. It's running fast, it's running great, isn't it? Have it 12 months, it's not fast enough. You've got to find another one. Everything. We're always chasing something. What we need disciples to do to change this world is to chase Jesus. To chase God. Tommy Tenney wrote a few books called God Chasers. We need to chase God. See, whatever you're looking for in life today, the answer is in Jesus Christ. Satisfaction comes through Jesus. Joy comes through Jesus. Peace comes through Jesus. Salvation comes through Jesus. Healing comes through Jesus. God's provisions comes through Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. Come on, let's believe this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. This should just encourage you to believe the Word of God, that the Word of God will change things. The Word of God will change your circumstances. But you need to use the Word of God. You need to realize that this book is not just a book. That this book is the mystery of God revealed to the disciples. This is not revealed to humanity as a whole. This book is a mystery and is only to be revealed to his disciples. And so there are times when you read this and suddenly you see something that you've never seen before. Now, Sandra, being to Bible college, she'll have read the Bible so many times she's lost count. But I'll guarantee that the verses of Scripture that we start to read, and suddenly God begins to show us something totally different. That has certainly been my experience. Matthew 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And God said to me, "No, that's not what I'm saying." He said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, he said this, "Seek ye first the King." The King of the kingdom. And the King's righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto you. You see, becoming a Christian, becoming a disciple, is about a personal relationship. It's about getting to know Jesus face to face. It's about having a personal relationship with him. It's not just coming and sitting in a chair couple of times a week and, you know, sticking some money in the offering. That's not relationship. That's just attendance. It's about a relationship with Jesus. It's about beginning to get to know him. He already knows you. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows already what you plan for tomorrow. And sometimes God sits and laughs. Really? I'll show you. I'll fix that. God changes things. But God wants to see you succeed and not fail. God has planned success for you. But for you to have success, you have to make a decision to take his hand. You have to make that decision to take the hand of Jesus. As you take the hand of Jesus, he'll lead you, he'll direct you. It's so important that together, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, we begin to get to know him as a personal Savior. You don't know Jesus because of me. You don't know Jesus because of Dia or Daniel or anybody else. You have to know Jesus for yourself. You can't live on his relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't live on my parents' relationship that they have with Jesus Christ. I live on my own relationship that I have with Jesus and my faith in Christ that he's given to me and that he calls us to grow. I've already answered the question, I suppose, really. I was just going to ask, does faith grow? It does. Faith does grow. How do I know it grows? It says in 2 Thessalonians. See, it's always in Scripture. It's always there. You can just dig it out. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is what Paul says to the church. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Wow. Their faith has grown. He's saying your faith has greatly enlarged. Our faith has to grow. What is the next thing that God has for us? Our faith has to grow so that we can step into and onto that next step that God is drawing us into as believers in Christ Jesus. Because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each other, one towards another, grows even greater. Love is greater than faith. You know, when you begin to see your faith growing, you begin to love. You begin to love the things of God, the people of God, the ways of God. You don't love the ways of the world. That's how you know your faith is growing. When you have a greater love for the things of God than for the things of the world. And faith will grow. I see it in you guys, you young people in particular. I see how your love for the Lord Jesus and your faith has grown. And they grow together. And God sees you. And God is abounding in love towards each and every one of us. How powerful are your words. I know that some people can be very hurtful at times, say things that they don't really mean, regret it afterwards, and there's tears and everything goes on. And sometimes we say things that we shouldn't have said, but we need to use the words of Jesus at times, so often, and let God move through our lives. There's a verse of scripture that the words of Jesus that are so powerful, and that's when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. The devil comes along and tempts Jesus and says, turn these stones into bread. Jesus looks at the devil and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Come on. We need to answer the devil. We need to tell the world we're trusting the word of God. We're not trusting Brexit. We're not trusting the EU. We're not trusting what the world's doing. We're trusting God. We're trusting the word of God. You know, the word of God has kept the people for so long. When the children of Israel wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, did God fail on them? Sainsbury's weren't around. Tesco's weren't there. They didn't have iPhones and whatever else. They just simply had one thing. The presence of God. The presence of God. And you know, church, what we need today is not a great, fabulous worship band. It's nice. But what we need is the presence of God. And when the presence of God is with us, we'll see great and mighty things done. We'll see the power of God moving and changing lives. We need the presence of God. Each and every one of us needs the presence of God to prevent us from falling. We need the presence of God to stop the devil having his rule over us. You see, the devil, the Bible says the devil has come to do one thing. Well, a combination of, it results in the end of one thing: steal, kill, and destroy. His intention is to destroy you. How he does it, he doesn't care. Money can destroy people. Well, if I only had all this money, then everything would be fine. A couple of years ago, was it Bob Geldof's daughter? Had all the money that she needed, 25 years old, had a child, a husband, overdosed on drugs. Beautiful young lady, gone in a moment. Yet people say, oh, we work on the streets regular, and people say to us, I'm in control of my habit. Yeah, right. I've never ever seen anybody that is in control of their habit. Have you? The habit controls them. Whether it be drugs, alcohol, gambling, food, whatever it happens to be, you're not in control of a habit. And I tell them on the streets, I've got an addiction. Really? Yeah. Oh. You've got an addiction? I said, yeah. I said, I'm addicted to Jesus. Oh, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm crazy, and I'm glad to be crazy, because I'm addicted to Jesus, and I know that He'll never ever do me any harm. He'll never do me any wrong. He's always there to protect me, to keep me, to strengthen me, to uphold me. And He's there to give me life. He said He's come that I might have life and have it with an abundance. Let me tell you this, alcohol steals your money. I was talking the other day to somebody, 26 pints a night. I'm like, where do you put 26 pints? In one night. I used to have a guy work for me. He was this high. He was just about 5'2". Every night, he'd drink 20 odd pints a night. And come to work. Sober. I'm like, huh? I mean, I used to look at him. And literally, it looked in his eyes, and it looked as if you could see the liquid swimming backwards and forwards. And he said, you all right? Yeah, fine. You know, I think, oh, Peter. If I even sucked half a pint, I'd be out and gone. Forget it. That's me. Yeah. But 20 odd pints. But he's a secret killer. Destroying life. Destroys the body. Just because you can't see what it's doing does not mean it's okay. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, when Jesus said to the devil, get you behind me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What Jesus did there and then was Jesus rejected an earthly kingdom. He rejected an earthly kingdom, and He chose the heavenly kingdom. Today, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to allow your faith to grow? Are you going to reject the earthly kingdom, the things of this world, and choose Christ?
Amen.
That's the choice that we have and have to make. And what I mean, you know, so many people just stick their hand up and say, oh, I made a decision for Jesus. No, I mean, are you going to live a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it going to be a 24/7 relationship? Are you actually going to give Him everything? The decision I made when I was 16 years old, I gave Jesus everything. Never regretted it. I've had more than I've given Him. It's been pressed down, shaken together, and it's run over. And it still continues today. So my question to you today, are you going to give Jesus everything? Are you going to let that faith of God begin to grow in your life? Are you going to put Jesus first? Or are you going to be tempted by turn these stones into bread? Or are you going to say, no, I choose Christ first. The girl sang, Christ is enough for me. No turning back. No turning back. There is no turning back, girls. Out there is death. Out there is destruction. Out there, people want to use you and abuse you. But Christ has more for you. Out there, it wants to take your livelihood, it wants to take your money, it wants to take everything that you have. Out there, they'll tell you you've got freedom, but actually out there, the world is taking your freedom away from you. People who are alcoholics are dependent on alcohol. They have no freedom to make a choice. People who are dependent on drugs have no freedom to make a choice. They're dependent on the drug. Whatever the addiction is, whatever the lifestyle is, some people are workaholics and they're dependent on a job. I remember when a company I worked for, and it closed down, and one man, and this is many, many, many years ago, went and hung himself because his job was the only thing he had. What a tragedy. A life wasted. There's more to life than what you see on this earth. I want to encourage you, if you today, I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads for a moment. Just listen. You may have made a decision at some stage for the Lord Jesus. You may have said you thought you'd ask Him into your life. That day has grown cold in your mind and in your heart. And He no longer now takes first place. Something else has taken His place. I want you to just consider for a moment. Did you get a better deal? Because I know that if you ask Jesus into your heart and life and you take hold of Him and you give Him everything, you will get a far better deal. You get an eternal deal, an eternal guarantee from Father in heaven. And I just want to say, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, that if you need to make a recommitment or a decision for the Lord Jesus today, to change your destiny, to establish your future. And I just want to ask you to raise your hand and say, I need to change my destiny. I need to change my future. I need my relationship back with Jesus. I need to have a relationship with Jesus. If you're saying any of those things in your heart right now, put your hand up and say, that's me. I want to change. I want a future. I want a hope in God. Put your hand up. I'm not going to call you out. It's between you and God, this. Anybody? Father, we just commit this word to you. Father, we pray that our faith would continue to grow in you. Father, we would realize our purpose for living. That for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Father, I pray that for everyone here today, Lord, that that would be a prayer that they could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, that the world has no hold of me, but Christ is enough for me. Christ is enough for me. Father, just thank you for your promises and for your word to us. And Father, we just pray that your hand will continue to be upon us and lead us and direct us. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.